Parler, your premier uncancelable free speech platform, is back. Big tech tried to limit you to their mediocre social platforms, and they failed. Go to Parler.com or download the app and join the uncensored conversation. Parler, speak freely.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're going to take, Randy?
Yeah.
We're going to look at something with the Southern Baptist Convention. The Bible says that in the last days, many, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Okay, now, what does God's Word, the Bible, have to say about changing or adding to or taking from the Word of God?
Oh, no, that's a curse. That's an abomination,
yes,
and that He'll add to the plagues. He'll add to you. Mm-hmm. If you add all the way the plagues, then He's going to add to you, add to them all the plagues of the Bible. If you take away, He's going to take your name out of the book of life.
Okay, so
two not good things.
God, when he talks about conforming, are we to conform to the world?
No.
No, we're to conform to the image of Christ.
To the image of Christ, right. So now, here, what if we say, well, you can't just be black and white all the time. Sometimes you got to have some gray in there. Now, I'll go along with that. And I agree with God that sodomy is wrong, and I agree that abortion is murder. But, I kind of think pedophilia is okay. How does that wash with God?
That doesn't wash with God. No. That dirties with God really bad.
So what about this now? God says that men are to be ordained ministers, and that men are to be the pastors and teaching men. The women are not to be the ordained, and the women are not to be teaching men.
Right.
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
Is a stutter there at all?
No.
No, no. And okay. As a matter of fact, that's in the Old and the New Testament, because it goes from Genesis and then jumps into one of the Timothys, and I'm not sure which one, but he says
First Timothy,
yeah, but he jumps right into that, and he reverts back to the fall from First Timothy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that.
Yes.
Well, now you see there's been a change in the Southern Baptist, and they're doing exactly the conservative people that wanted to hold to the Word of God have been voted out. And now they're bringing in those that want to ordain women. And Rick Warren, all of a sudden, has become a large voice over there. Now, Rick Warren, in my opinion, Rick Warren's no more saved than the man on the moon, okay? In my opinion, Rick Warren, the things that he has said and done, shows me just the opposite, okay, of that. And we'll hear Rick Warren boasting about what he has done. Okay, and what he's saying is not true. And so here, we're going to play a clip. Are you ready with a clip right there? Take it away.
You are exceptional because God made you that way. See, God formed you and He fashioned you. And He says you are exceptional.
The title of my message is Waiting on My Miracle.
Are we going to keep bickering over secondary issues? Or are we going to keep the main thing the main thing?
We'll see what happens in Anaheim. It's interesting. An L.A. boy, for a reason, Los Angeles is going back, to my old stomping grounds to be a part of this, this tough moment.
The Southern Baptist Convention can probably answer Matt Walsh's question. What is a woman? At least, I really, really hope so. But apparently, the question, what is a pastor, is a completely different ballgame. This is the story of the insanity of the 2022 SBC annual meeting. But first, we need to rewind to the year 2000. This year was the culmination of the conservative resurgence of the SBC. The year when the convention's confession, the Baptist faith and message, was revised to fight against growing liberalism in the SBC. Al Mohler was a key part of this conservative resurgence. And one particular statement in the revised Baptist faith and message is, while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. This statement in the Baptist faith and message is clearly complementarian. Keep this statement in mind as we fast forward to 2019. In April 2019, in response to Vicky Courtney tweeting, yours truly is preaching three services at a SB church on Mother's Day. But shh, Beth Moore, still a part of the SBC, replied, I'm doing a Mother's Day too. Vicky, let's please don't tell anyone this. Clearly, these women know what they are doing contradicts the confession of the denomination they belong to, but they are intentionally rebelling against it. Soon after this, Russell Moore, head of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, in a panel discussion with Beth Moore, said this.
So what I'll say is this. A Southern Baptist convention that doesn't have a place for Beth Moore doesn't have a place for a lot of us.
Fast forward now to 2021. Beth Moore announces that she is no longer a Southern Baptist, and she tweets, Let me be blunt. When you functionally treat complementarianism, a doctrine of man, as if it belongs among the matters of first importance, yeah, as a litmus test for where one stands on inerrancy and authority of Scripture, you are the ones who have misused Scripture. You went too far. In addition to this, Saddleback Church, founded by Rick Warren, which is part of the SBC, ordains three women as pastors in direct violation of the Baptist faith and message. In addition to this, at the 2021 SBC annual meeting, Ed Litton is elected president of the SBC, who has co-preached a sermon with his wife.
And the third feature that reveals from that of a servant heart is the ability to forgive without lingering anger.
Another violation of the Baptist faith and message. And now, fast forward to the 2022 SBC annual meeting. The Credentials Committee makes its decision on whether to remove Saddleback Church from the SBC over its blatant violation of the Baptist faith and message.
During the 2021 SBC annual meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, a motion concerning the relationship of Saddleback Church was referred to our committee for consideration. Based on the information available to us currently, including direct communication with Pastor Rick Warren, we have concluded that we are not yet prepared to make a recommendation regarding Saddleback Church, recognizing that there are differing opinions regarding the intent of the office of pastor, as stated in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. We feel it is very important for you to know that it is the unanimous opinion of the Credentials Committee that the majority of Southern Baptists hold to the belief that the function of lead pastor, elder, bishop, overseer is limited to men as qualified by Scripture, and that this was the intended definition of office of pastor as stated in Article 6 of the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. However, the Credentials Committee has found little information evidencing the convention's belief regarding the use of the title of pastor for staff positions with differing responsibilities and authority than that of lead pastor. For this reason, the Credentials Committee moves that the following recommendation be adopted. The Credentials Committee recommends that the Southern Baptist Convention form a study committee, the members of which shall be appointed by the president to report to the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting a recommendation to provide clarity regarding the office of pastor, as stated in the Baptist Faith and Message Article 6, the Church.
If you like this video, subscribe to win a handcrafted leather Bible and help reach more people with the truth. Incredible. The committee needs another year to study the question, what is a pastor? Al Mohler, who was a key part of the original conservative resurgence, had this to say about the committee's decision concerning Saddleback Church.
My concern is, as a churchman, a theologian, and someone who loves this convention, as I know everyone in this room does, if we eventually have to form a study committee over every word in our confession of faith, then we're doomed and we're no longer a confessional people. This is a confessional denomination. We say what we believe in specific words that are the Baptist faith and message. The moment we start to, of necessity, have study committees to decide what the words mean what Southern Baptists said in the year 2000. At that time, the word pastor was used by the committee and adopted by the convention because we were told that is the most easily understood word among Southern Baptists for pastoral teaching leadership. I have to hope we still have that much clarity and that churches that use the word pastor mean it.
Rick Warren himself is invited to speak at this SBC annual meeting, and he basically makes two points. First, he lists off all his amazing accomplishments.
The Bible says Jesus spoke not a word unto them when Pilate accused him of all kinds of things. I love Southern Baptists. I am a fourth generation Southern Baptist pastor, and I had preached over 120 Harvest Crusades before I was 20. We baptized 56,631 new believers. And as a Southern Baptist church, sent 26,869 members overseas to 197 nations. 78,157 members of our church signed our membership covenant after taking a four-hour membership class. 9,173 home Bible studies that I already mentioned. We planted 90 in Orange County alone and literally thousands around the world. I've had the privilege for 43 years of training 1.1 million pastors. That, sorry, friends, that's more than all the seminaries put together. I owe you all so much. So I sincerely say thank you, Southern Baptist, for shaping my life.
Massive applause for Rick Warren's accomplishments. Never mind that much of Warren's success is the result of de-emphasizing the depth of our sin against a holy God and emphasizing all that God can do for you, which leads to an enormous amount of self-deception about one's true spiritual state.
That's the gospel presentation in the purpose-driven life, or the excuse for a gospel presentation in the purpose-driven life. No repentance, no gospel, no sin, no wrath of God, no nothing. Just believe. God loves you. He made you for a purpose. Jesus died for you. That's it. Really? Just like that?
And second, Warren says that we need to focus on the gospel and saving souls, not about secondary issues.
Are we going to keep bickering over secondary issues? Are we going to keep the main thing the main thing?
But what Scripture clearly teaches is not at all a secondary or unimportant issue. It directly related to our view of the inerrancy and sufficiency of Scripture, and it directly relates to the illustration of the gospel itself.
Now what I'm doing is marring the picture of the relationship between Christ and his church, and the word of God is being dishonored, being defamed, and we can't have that.
Also, at this annual meeting, Vody Bachum lost the nomination for president of the SBC Pastors Conference, and Tom Askell lost the nomination for president of the SBC. I don't know or have anything against the men who won these elections. One thing is certain. The SBC has rejected two of the most solidly biblical men for office and has refused to stand firm upon what its very own confession clearly states about women pastors.
Alrighty, we're back. Okay. Now, let me just, you know, there's so much so wrong with all of this. All right. I mean, so much so wrong. You heard him talking about the Southern Baptist denomination. Now, our denomination is biblical.
No.
Okay. So you receive a denomination when you place something. The Bible, here's the church government, right? This is very simple. Church government. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. You have the under-shepherd. That's the pastor of the local assembly. And then you have the elders and the deacons, and then you have the congregation. That is, the government of the local church. It's not complicated, is it? No. Okay, now, what happens when you take something and you insert something between God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the under-shepherd, the pastor of the local church? You end up with a denomination.
You end up being Catholic.
Okay, well, not just Catholic. Look, okay, I can tell you that the Southern Baptist Convention is not biblical. I can tell you that the Synod, the Lutheran Synod, is not biblical.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
All of these, the presbyter is not biblical. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, God didn't give us this. Now, God gave us a number of names. The Bible does, you see. But let me ask you this, too. You see, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass, but his words will not change, right?
Right.
But what if didn't God know what popular opinion would be? I mean, what if popular opinion says, now, God, you know, we're going to have to change some of these because, you know, the women want to be pastors. So you have to change your ways somewhat, and there's some men out there that want to have babies now, so you got to change your ways somewhat, God. Is God subject to this?
God never depicts himself as being anything other than a man.
Okay, so now here when they're talking about the Southern Baptist, they're not Baptist.
Right.
They're Protestant. What's the difference between a Protestant and a Baptist?
I thought that the Baptists believed that the local church could best meet the needs of it, was set there to meet the needs of the congregation and not answer to an authority say, like the Lutherans do, like the Methodists do, and that it was basically the local church was fairly autonomous. But yeah, obviously, but we believed in certain tenets of faith, like Jesus, like faith is based on grace. You know, grace, we're saved by grace through faith, and things like that. But not all that other stuff. But like as far as just like with the Catholics have the Pope, the Bishop, the Cardinal, and all of these people in the middle, they have a hierarchy. And that's not biblical. That's not biblical for how we see it. It's Christ.
Well, no, it's not. And first of all, denominations are not biblical.
No, not biblical, right?
Right.
And Baptist, real Baptist is not a denomination. Real Baptist is a doctrine.
Yeah, a doctrine.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know
yes.
how I know that? Because I'm a Baptist.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes.
And we belong to the UBF, Unregistered Baptist, and we hold to what the Word of God says. We literally, we don't vary from it. We don't.
Right. Right.
Yes.
And right.
So
you're right.
Here, let me read something to you, okay? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, this is Hebrews chapter 6, let us go on unto the perfection, laying again the foundations. Listen to this. This is going to shock Rick Warren. Rick, I hope you're listening here. Laying the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands, that means ordination, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, so what is he talking about? You see, these are fundamentals of the faith. This is what Baptists hold to. Those that hold to this, to the biblical teachings, are considered Baptists. Now, this teaching goes back all the way back to John the Baptist, right?
Yes.
Well, we have to laugh when we talk about who was the first Who preached? Who was pastor of the first church? And John the Baptist had a congregation, and he was the first Baptist preacher. Okay, but again, we hold into the fundamentals of the faith. That's what Baptist actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now when it comes to women preachers, let's see if the Bible, if it does at all, stutter. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I will therefore, verse 8, I will therefore let men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, that which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. So now, what is he saying there? Women are to, is he forbidding women to wear jewelry or makeup?
No, he's not saying look like an unmade bed. He's saying that you shouldn't be gaudy and draw attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. In those kinds, be modest.
He's telling you that your beauty is to come from where?
Within.
From within.
Okay.
So
your beauty is to be with God, is being a godly woman, huh?
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And so now he goes on to say, now listen to this, because it don't stutter. Not one word does it stutter here, right?
Right.
Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I will suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So let me ask you this. The pastor, whether you call him the pastor, whether you call him the shepherd, whether you call him the presbyter, they all have the same
right,
name.
Right, same, yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, they all have, you know, different names for the same office. Does he say they have authority
yes.
in the church. Mm-hmm. They're the head of the authority, right? C- Christ is the
Head.
The head.
Well, he reverts it back to the fall. If you go and follow it on down,
yeah.
he takes it right on back down to the fall, which is what I was saying earlier. He goes back to the Old Testament and the whole authority of the man being over the woman, and that is it's. He relates it right back to the fall.
So now, I mean, does God know that about, again, the popular opinion polls, does he know that this is going to be rejected by an NOW and by NBC, ABC, CBS?
Well, God is aware of that. Yes, God is. You're asking.
Okay,
this,
so
yeah.
Is that going to change God's mind at all?
No. It's not going to. And no.
So what about the Southern Baptist Convention? That really not Southern at all. They're Protestant.
That's not going to bother him either.
Okay, so now he said, "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor serve authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Where does the enemy, where does Satan attack men in a generality? Where does he attack men?
Pride.
No, concerning women. The weaker sex is what he did.
Okay, but what I'm talking about, he attacks men in the area of pride.
Pride, oh yeah, absolutely.
From the time, we're small, and this is not necessarily a bad thing, but men are competitive, males, right? I can run faster than you. My dog's bigger than your dog.
Okay? I got more money than you do. I got a better job, et cetera, and so forth.
My brother can beat up your brother. Okay.
Right. We beat you in football, whatever.
So, but he attacks women in the area of discernment.
Yes.
And what's happened all through, we see all through the Bible where men who knew better, who should have done what they were supposed to, gave in to the whims and the wishes of their wives. Now, what should have Adam have done in that garden? See, Adam had the authority in that garden to take the head off of Satan.
Yeah.
In that garden, he had the authority. But he listened to his wife, right?
Yes.
Now, why did that come about? Do you think Satan watched and peered and said, "Hey, I found Adam's Achilles heel"? That right there, his weakness is that woman. She's beautiful. He loves her. I'll use her, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Adam wasn't impressed by the serpent. It hadn't been for Eve. And who said? Adam said it himself, okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He would have got rid of the serpent, hadn't been for the. But what about Abraham?
And Sarah.
Sarah, yes.
So when Abraham listened to Sarah instead of listening, look, God said, "Abraham, you're going to have a seed. I'm going to give Sarah, not Hagar." Look, Abraham. And Abraham told Sarah, and she wasn't going to go along. She had to make sure that Abraham would have some descendants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She didn't listen to God, did she?
No.
We got tired of waiting on him too.
And so then she lied to God when God said that Sarah's going to have a conceive, and she laughed. And he said, "Why are you laughing?" I wasn't laughing. Yes, see, you were laughing too. Okay. See, look, if God tells you you're laughing, you're laughing.
That's right.
Okay. Now.
Oh, yeah.
So here now, so he goes on to say this. Wherefore, let him that speaketh, wait a minute. Did I change? Okay, let me go back.
12 and 13.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Where did I left off here now. Okay. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness and sobriety. So does that mean that in order for her to get eternal life, she has to have a child?
No.
No.
What does that mean that she's going to be saved by childbearing?
But I think she's restored back to the authority because she's the primary influencer of the child.
Okay.
She's brought back into, you know, whatever the honor was.
So what is the, what he's saying here, that the greatest thing a woman can do, or the greatest ministry,
is
to raise the children in the admonition of the Lord, right?
Yes.
That's right.
And to by childbearing, right?
Yes.
Listen, you see it on TV. The football players don't say hi, Dad. They all the those athletes say hi, Mom.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? They don't say hi, Dad. They don't do that stuff.
Yeah. Now here, let me ask you this. Then you see, because it says that the woman can get that by childbearing. Doesn't say nothing about any men having childbearing, right?
Right.
No.
Did you ever notice that all the way through God's Word, the Bible, he knows about these things, that only women can have babies? These fools out here in our media don't know that, do they?
No, they don't.
Okay. No. You see, again, if you give birth, you're not a man. When they say a man's going to have a baby, if he has a baby, he's not a man, right? Because men don't have babies, right?
And see, they don't tell the rest of the story in this either. And that's that if a man loves his wife like Christ loves the church, what you got to be afraid of?
Let me ask you that.
Really?
Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Okay.
And start with verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's start with verse 33.
You said 14 or 4?
14.
14, okay.
And read me verses 33 through 34, okay. Through 35.
Okay, so we're going from
33 through 35.
34, okay, 33, 34, and 35.
Yeah.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church.
Oh, Lisa. Lisa, man, you're gabbing all the time right there. Okay, so Randy, does that mean that they have to sit there and stay silent?
No. No. I think we're talking about running the, you know, being the dominant speaker in the, whether it's the sermon or whatever.
Yeah.
It
not to teach and
it
not
means
to preach.
Preaching or
preaching
teaching.
And teaching. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, the dominant, you know, person in the church.
Now, if you come off of here and you start back in 25, if you read it and you talk about, it talks about speaking in tongues. Now, it specifically tells you that certain people are not to speak in tongues. Okay? let me say this. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three or the most witnesses, and that it be by course. Let not one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, so he's speaking to that, and then he goes into this also. So the only people that were specifically told not to speak in tongues in the church are women. Now, it's an interesting thing because I've preached in several Pentecostal churches, and if there's 10 people speaking in tongues, 8 of them will be women.
That's yeah. Right, yes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so, I mean, like, do you think that if they say, look, God, you know, we're going to go along with some of your stuff, God, but you got to give it a little here. You got to let us go our own way with some of this stuff. We believe look what the Catholics have done. They've gone ahead and taken and called it church dogma. I mean, their own doctrines, church doctrine, is contrary to the Bible. We're going to do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
If you talk about going back to Baptists, Only about, I would estimate 10% of those that are called Baptist are actually Baptist. I would say the other. What's the difference between a Protestant and a Baptist?
You know what? I always thought that it was the official doctrine of the Baptist Church is Hiscock's book. And you know what? To be honest with you, off the top of my head, it's been so long. We used to, years ago, say the church creed every first Sunday and baptism Sunday, and I used to know that stuff. And they say, "What you don't use, you lose." I don't remember, but I do know that the Baptist churches doesn't answer to say like the, for instance, like there's no place to kick them out of because they're not in. Just like they're talking about removing the Southern Baptists, are saying they're going to remove Rick Warren. Well, if that were a true Baptist church, they couldn't put him out anyway because he wouldn't be in anything. He'd be believing the doctrine themselves, but they wouldn't be able to say distribute money, tell them who what kind of pastor they could have, any of that stuff. None of that.
Okay, hang tight. Maybe we can solve this mystery right after this. Okay.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart. Behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the end of time.
Till the end of time.
Seek and you will find. Ask and you'll be given. Eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
You are why he died.
Why he died.
He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you. It was for you and I that he was crucified.
All right, I just wanted to say this very quickly. When I asked you the question, the difference between a Baptist and a Protestant, the word Protestant comes from the word protest, means they came out of the Roman Catholic Church. The actual Baptists never were a part of, in fact, here, if you go over to 1 John chapter 2, in fact, he tells you, and maybe I should have been that, let me find where I'm coming here from. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The love of the world, the love of the Father is not in them, for that is... let me see. I'm looking for 1 John chapter 2. I wanted to go to verse 18 through 15. Here you go. Okay. Little children, it is the last times you've heard that Antichrist shall come, and now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now listen to this here. This is your answer. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In other words, actual Baptists have held to the Word of God without just literally from the very beginning. We were never a part of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church actually came out from us, okay, if you won't say that. And so here, and that happened about when? About when? Do you remember?
What's that now?
When was the Catholic Church started? About 315 A.D., right?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, but here we're talking about this. What the Baptists actually go all the way back to the teaching of John the Baptist, the teaching of the apostles. In other words, they're not a denomination. Actual true Baptists, they're a doctrine. Actual Baptists are a doctrine, not a denomination. And so that's what we hold to that. Now, what does Scripture say about, does Scripture say, be you conformed to the world, or did Scripture say, come out from amongst them, be you separate from them? And so the folks out there that's in this, when an organization apostatizes, then you are to come out from amongst them and be you separate from them.
That's right.
No stuttering there, right? And so there you go. We'll get into this later, because that comes into the 501c3. See, when you apply and become a 501c3, you literally cease to be a church.
Right, you're making a contract with the government.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're doing.
Right. And so, anyhow, let's take some calls. Let's go to Clifford. Clifford.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you while you got Randy here. Corinthians chapter, the second Corinthians chapter 12, the end of that chapter, verses 17 to 21, talks about the same spirit, the same steps maybe. And I don't know if that really relates to the book of Revelation that you were talking about last night in the Bible study, but I just want to get a take on that little section.
Well, let's see. You're talking about, going to verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, were...
Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter.
Oh, 2
Corinthians. Oh, okay, 2 Corinthians. That's a whole different Corinthians, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If this is a hard one, I'll give it to Randy. Let me see. Okay, starting with verse 17, he goes to... did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him and I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? What he's telling them there is simply that he didn't use them. He didn't profit off of them. Paul was asking nothing of the Corinthian believers, but he was still had some doubters. We're still saying that Paul was a very, very crafty guy and made a lot of money from them somehow. But Paul is saying here, did we make any gain? Did I or did Titus make any money off of you people? Now, today, those that make money off the people that fleece the flock, what are they called? They're called Prosperity Church. The name it, the claim it, the grab it, and the stab it, right?
Right.
And so, now what do we know about the Prosperity Churches? Mostly, they will not preach against sin. You very rarely ever hear them preaching against sin. But there's something else that they don't do, and like Rick Warren does. This is why, see, Rick Warren, I never thought that man was saved at all. Okay. And here, because they don't preach in repentance.
Well, and they headhunting. Think about it. Paul said he was glad he didn't. Warren could tell you to the man how many people he baptized. Mm-hmm. And Paul couldn't.
Well, you see here, if I were, that's right, Paul couldn't, but I would have said, instead of Rick Warren saying that what all he had done, I would have said what the Lord had done.
Okay? That's right. Yes.
Yeah, you see.
He was bragging.
And here I remember Steve Doocy on Fox News talking about Rick Warren, bringing Rick Warren's gospel to the unsaved there in Africa and that. And they showed these plane loads of Rick Warren's, and they were delivering the book, but it wasn't the Bible. It was Rick Warren's purpose-driven church, not the Bible. And so Steve Doocy was saying that how many people were saved by Rick Warren's gospel?
None.
Now, did Jesus call it his gospel, or did he call it Rick Warren's gospel?
His gospel, Jesus' gospel.
There you go. I knew that. All righty. Did that answer your question there, Cliff?
Yeah, but going a little bit further, he's saying what some of the shenanigans the church people were in. How do you see that last couple of verses, you know?
Well, when he goes on to say, again, I think we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest that when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, backbiting, whisperings, swelling tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall be well many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. And so there you go. I remember a woman telling me one time that the Apostle Paul was a male chauvinist. And this was a professing Christian. And but you'll probably hear that today quite often because of biblical literacy. And see, we hold, this is the only way to hold the Scripture is to hold the Scripture, not, you know, literally take the Word of God, okay? The Word of God doesn't change, does it? And so, again, going back to this idea that God will have to bow down to public opinion, no. You know, what does God, let me ask you this. What does mankind owe God? What do we owe him?
Not too much. Nothing. Everything, rather. Everything.
Everything. What does?
Nothing, basically.
What does God owe us?
Nothing versus everything.
Exactly right. Now,
yeah.
Let me tell if every person on this planet were to just disappear right now, how would that affect God?
Not at all.
But if God was to cease to exist, how would that affect us?
That would be our eternal end, basically, not only temporal, but eternal.
What we just said is something that we used to call common sense, and we derived common sense from the Word of God, from the teaching of the Word of God, right?
Exactly.
It's an amazing thing today, huh? All righty, very good. Well, that was a good question, Cliff. And,
okay, thanks.
To hear it, Randy says sometimes he doesn't expect a lot out of you, but no, I do. You always have good questions. He does. He always has good questions.
Oh, gee.
Okay, there you go. Let me see. Where are we? Ask them if they've ever heard me use the word rhino. So you people out there, rhino. I rough up the rhinos all the time. Okay, now for you asking about Democrats, there are no real Democrats left anymore. The ones that were have left, and because the party become pure communist, because what they hold to is their entire platform is one of sin. Everything they embrace is nothing but sin. But and I do beat up those Republicans that do the same thing. The difference is, for example, right now, if you take a look at the polls in the Republican Party, well, take a look at the votes. When they have a pro-life bill, it's always one side. All of the Republicans vote to pro-life, even though some of them aren't. They have to. They need to get in lockstep too, because they have to win the bill. And all the Democrats always vote for death. Now, some of them don't want to, but they're afraid Nancy Pelosi is going to rough them up if they don't. Okay, but the fact of it is the Democratic Party, their platform is one of death. The Republican platform is one of life. There's the difference right there. The Bible says, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life and a blessing." Right? There's the answer. Let's go to Timothy. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, I listened to Cliff. I listened to the rest of the show, and I agree with everything that was spoken this evening. I just wanted to throw a couple of quick words in there before you guys give the invitation. It comes down to Romans 10, 9 through 10, basically that. And then we have to lift up Psalm 2 and Psalm 68, the first 12 verses of Psalm 68. That pretty much spells it out. It never comes back void. It says what it is, and it is what it says. And we know that the government is upon his shoulders. That's clear. There's no stuttering there. And so we just hold the King James Bible, thanks to, and I did some deep diving on King James. King James was not a great person, but God used him anyway. And we have version of the word stands true. And he also used Martin Luther to shake things up with the 95 Theses back in the 1500s. So it's whatever his ways and means are, I'm glad that he allowed that to happen.
I agree, but let me just say this, because there's been a lot of misinformation about King James as being a pedophile. There's been a lot written on that, and there's no proof at all that he was a pedophile.
No, you can't vet the sources. I'm just saying I read that stuff, and I just I asked the Lord. I said, you know what? The Holy Spirit gives you clarity, and it will give you discernment on all that stuff. And I just believe that that is the inherent word of God, and however he is, that he had to answer to God before he left this earth, or he did not. And if he did not answer to God or make amends or repent before he died, that's between him and God. I just know.
Well, here's what he did that was a wonderful thing. He made it very, very clear that he wanted the Bible when it was interpreted, okay? He set those 56 men on that, and he said he wanted no errors. Now, when the king tells you that he doesn't want any errors, what could happen if you messed up?
You probably lose your life.
Yeah, lose your head. So here, these guys, and he called them together. Most of them never knew each other, but we see how they're in perfect harmony. Now, that had to do only with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, all right, now Timothy, this is your lucky day. This is your lucky day, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to let you give the invitation.
I'm 59 today.
Oh, are you?
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
See, look at this. On your birthday, you get to give the invitation on nationwide radio. So tell folks out there, now that you're 59, you actually know how you can get to heaven and avoid hell, right?
Absolutely. The only way, I don't care, and like you just said earlier, there are no denominations in the Bible. So anyone out there that was either raised in a denomination or is thinking about joining a denomination, the only church is the Church of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever died and walked out of his grave. Every other person that any other denomination or so-called faith leader, they're all in their graves. And you can go see him. You can't go see his grave because it's empty. And he's coming back. and he's going to save his church and any of the people that have given their life to him. He's coming for us, and the groom is going to receive his bride. What we have to do in the interim is you have to surrender all of yourself without any reservation to Jesus, repent of all our sins, knowing and unknowing, and ask for complete please forgiveness and total surrender to the cross at Calvary and the blood shed for our sakes.
Okay, so there wasn't no stuttering there. So did Jesus, did he do all the heavy lifting for us?
He absolutely did.
Okay, so when it comes to our salvation, okay, what is it we have to do to earn that?
We have to do nothing.
So it's a gift. So there's not a thing in the world we can do to earn that, but what we have to do.
We have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord.
All right.
And so in John and in Romans, those, like you say all the time, in Romans 9 and 10, and in John 10:10.
If thou wilt confess with thy mouth, I know, with and the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, God had raised him from the dead.
Without any doubt or any reservation whatsoever.
But Jesus said there's something you have to do first, and that is you have to ask forgiveness of for sin. Jesus said repentance. He says,
turn from our ways.
Yep, you've got to repent.
And turn from our ways. Repent meaning about face.
About face. So you've got to repent, ask the Father for forgiveness. You've got to ask the Father for forgiveness, and then...
And then mean it.
Yeah.
When you're repenting, then you have to mean it with our heart, he knows our heart, and he also he knows our intent. And so, if our intent isn't sincere, and our whole, with our whole heart, our whole body, and our whole mind, that we have given ourselves over to his authority, then he will guide us through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, let me finish this off, because we got to ask. Is knowing what Jesus did for us on that cross, is that incentive for really meaning it? And knowing what hellfire is like, to escape hellfire, is that incentive to really believing and really meaning it when you ask for forgiveness? I would say...
It's going to be forever, one way or the other. You only have two choices. Just like there's only two genders. All men and all women someday are going to leave this earth. You know, it's appointed once to die, and so we only get one chance to live.
All right. So is all of that
die in this life?
Is all of that true? Even if you don't believe it, is it still true? Will it still take place even if you don't believe it? All right.
Today and forever.
We're out of time for tonight. So. When we get to this time, boy, this program went fast tonight. When we get to this time, every night, we say God bless, good night. And remember, always ready.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.